manifest myself. And I enjoyed doing that study, enjoyed sharing some of those thoughts that the Lord had given to us in that study, but felt impressed the last couple of days to get back in Psalms. And so here we are, we've made our way. I don't know how long we've been at the Psalms. I think we're on about year number 8, something like that. And maybe 8 and a half, near 9 years now. And we're winding down. I see a little light at the end of the tunnel. 150's coming in about 4 years from now. All right? Amen. Psalm 109. Let's read this psalm in its entirety. This should be our first reading of it. And if the Lord will help me, I know it's a little long, 31 verses. We'll see. If the Lord help us kind of speed through this a little bit tonight and give it all to you as he's put on our heart. The Bible said, "Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries. But I give myself unto prayer. They have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath, and let the stranger spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord. And let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may be cut off, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. Because did he remember not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. And he clothed him, as he clothed himself with cursing, like as with his garment, so let it come into his bowels like water and like oil into his bones. Let it be unto him as the garment which covereth him, and for a girdle wherewith he is girded continually. Let this," listen to what he said in verse 20. That's pretty heavy reading so far. It's actually pretty good reading. If you think about it, those would be, you'll see tonight, good prayers we ought to be praying against most of, if not all, our politicians tonight. Amen. Lord, get them. Wipe them out. Kill them if you have to. Why? Because the Bible said, notice what he said, let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord and of them that speak evil against my soul. Listen to verse 21 very carefully. But do thou for me, O God the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good, deliver thou me, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like a shadow when it declineth. I am tossed up and down as the locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. I became also a reproach unto them. When they looked upon me, they shake their heads. Help me, O Lord my God. Oh, save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy hand. Listen to what he said, that thou, Lord, hast done it. Let them curse, but bless thou. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let thy servant rejoice. Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion. as with a mantle. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude, for he shall stand at the right, for he, that's the Lord now, he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul. Now, that's a kind of a strange psalm. It's you'll see it here this evening in a moment. It's a lot of imprecatory prayer. Lord, I've been done wrong by the evil man and the wicked man, and I can't do nothing about it, but Lord, I'm going to ask you to do something about all the evil that's been brought into this world and into the land and against the children of God, and we're going to trust God to rain down vengeance on the evil man. And so we want to look at this psalm. If the Lord will help me, let me give you the thought here, and I'll reiterate it here in just a moment. I'm preaching out of verse 21, but do thou for me, O God, the Lord, for thy name's sake. And then what he said, I want to use the end of verse number 7, that thou, Lord, hast done it. Lord, I need you to do something for me. And when you get done, I want to know, and I want everybody around me to know, that God has done something for my life. And so I want to preach, use those thoughts there. We'll center all these verses, this psalm in its entirety, around the thought, what would you have God do for you? What would you have God do for you? You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, please help us in our study of this psalm, this section, this psalm, Hebrew psalm contained in the Word of God, as it is eternal truth, profitable for doctrine and reproof and instruction, and Lord, for our benefit. We're thankful, Lord, tonight, Lord, when we study this book together, this psalm together, now make it alive, make it relevant. Though, Lord, it was penned so many thousands of years ago by a Jewish Hebrew king in the land of Israel, I pray, Lord, it would be relevant, Lord, in our hearing tonight, practical, Lord, to our life where we are. And, Lord, I pray it encourages tonight to trust our God in all that you desire and would do and can do tonight in our life. Lord, we'll bless you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you have a Bible, again, that has the headings, as is our custom, we look there to identify that this is a psalm of David, and that is very clear from the heading of this psalm to the chief musician, a psalm of David. The background of this psalm, when you began to study and try to put your finger upon it, it's either one of two different backgrounds, either David's conflict with Saul and Doeg the Edomite. And in that time of Saul seeking to take the life of David, and how Doeg came against David with hurtful and slanderous words to destroy the very name of David from the land of Israel. It's likely to me that it's either that or more likely to be the second, and that is at the time of the rebellion of Absalom and Ahithophel. We understand greatly those two seasons of David's life consume much of what we know about David. In fact, much of his life was lived in both of those scenarios and scenes, and running for his life and the vitriol and the evil and the wickedness that men brought against David in those seasons of his life. I don't know that we could exactly measure just how evil men spake against David during those times. So tonight, it matters really not which of those two backgrounds are behind the scene. The fact of the matter is, David is very clear in this psalm and speaks of his adversaries by that term and by that name three times in this psalm. For instance, in verse number 40, he said, "For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer." He said in verse number 20 again, emphasizing adversaries, he said, "Let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord, and of them that speak evil against my soul. And then again in verse number 29, let mine adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle. And so he speaks of adversaries in the plurality, and yet there is one in particular that seems to be the ringleader. He speaks of him there in verse number six, set thou a wicked man over him. And so there is a ringleader to this whole thing, but there is a band of evil brothers that have set themselves against this child of God. And David identifies and titles them and calls them out as being his adversaries. This word and term that David attributes to them literally means to harbor animosity towards. To harbor animosity towards. There is one in particular, and that one seems to have Brother Larry gained a following and encouraged others in this animosity to join him in becoming the adversaries of David. This word adversaries term or title adversaries, meaning to harbor animosity towards, that animosity is very clearly defined or displayed, if you will, through slander and lying accusations. Interestingly enough to me, when you study this term adversaries, as David uses it here, this is the Hebrew root word from which comes the very name of Satan, who is the ultimate adversary of all God's beloved. And so he is the ultimate adversary. And so any adversaries you and I have as children of God, anybody who's against us, anybody who has animus toward you and add the church of the living God, that would seek to destroy us, slander us, accuse us, and to work against us, ultimately, we understand it is the devil that is behind all of our adversaries tonight. And so in the world, and even in the land of America this evening, there are many adversaries to the people of God. We have many adversaries. We could list by names and organizations and politicians we could call by name tonight. Different religious sects and different religious organizations that without a doubt tonight have set themselves to be adversaries of the true church and true children of God. Make no mistake behind it. Make no mistake about it. Behind all of them is our great adversary, the devil himself. And when we think about what David describes in the reading of this psalm about his adversaries and what they had done to him, I don't want to elaborate on these things really right now. I'll just kind of throw them out. They'll appear tonight as we work our way through the text, but in this psalm, David's adversaries, they had blasphemed him. He speaks of them with the mouth of the wicked, the mouth of the deceitful has been opened against him. They have spoken against him with a lying tongue. And so they have blasphemed David, God's beloved. They had betrayed him. David speaks, as we read a moment ago, that he had done them good and they had repaid him with evil. It was not David who had made himself their enemy. It was they in their animosity and in their wicked heart have betrayed David in his goodness and in his compassion upon their life. David is not the one who had done them wrong, yet it's they who have done David wrong. And in this, I'll interject here, maybe to fit here, it surely bears out in the background of this psalm that this is going on in David's life, but David, no doubt, It is the writing, Brother Larry, of a greater betrayal, of a greater son of David than Hezekiah, that being the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the ultimate compassionate one. He was the ultimate one who had done good and had evil and betrayal rolled back upon his life. And so David is experiencing what a son of God would experience many, many years later after David and 2,000 years ago. And so his adversaries, they have blasphemed him, they have betrayed him, they have beset him, meaning simply they are working in opposition against that. Everything that is the will of God for David's life, everything God had anointed David to do and to be, it is the adversary who has made themselves the enemy of that in David's life. They have beset him and brought him into warfare at a time of opposition in David's life. The fact that they had, by a certain degree, been successful of him is shown in that they had bruised or they had broken David. He writes about it. We read it a moment ago, but he speaks of the fact that, no doubt speaking of himself, that they had persecuted the poor and needy man. And David identifies himself as that man in verse 22. But he said that he might even slay the broken in heart. And so David is saying, I've been broken and I have been bruised by my adversary. He said in verse 22, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. And so David's enemy has inflicted David some sort of broken part in David's life. An area of David's heart and David's soul has been struck and received a bruise upon it. I'm interested tonight, can you and I identify that with seasons of our life? Different maybe people or different situations in which hell is our adversary has come against us, in which we feel like our adversary has blasphemed us. We've been lied on, we've been misrepresented, we've been slandered, we have been presented in a way in which is a falsehood. I believe God's children, if you hadn't experienced that, hang on, you will sooner or later. Amen. I'll give you that encouragement tonight. It's coming down the road. Amen. Just wait a little while. You'll be hurt like the rest of us. Blaspheme. We feel betrayed at times. How many of us have had people look at us and say, I'll always be there. I loved you, and commit themselves unto us, and then wind up betraying that relationship and betraying that friendship and betraying all the vows that have ever been made. We can identify with David in the fact that there are times we are beset, that we feel like we're in a battle for our life. We're in a battle to attain the will of God, and then there's so much opposition, especially from the devil and the gates of hell that have come against us to keep us from being and doing what the Lord would have us to be and do. And then one of us cannot identify when being bruised and battered and even broken at times by someone who has made themselves the adversary of our life. That is the nature of the life we live as the children of God. We are persecuted. We go through battles. We go through times and seasons of our life. These things are a reality in our spiritual journey. And so what does this do in David's life? David is not unlike you and I. Amen. David is not, David's like me. He didn't, Brother Mike, he didn't say, well, thank God I've made some enemies along the way. I'm glad I've been betrayed. I'm glad I've been blasphemed. I'm glad they're telling lies on me. I just can't believe I'm so glad I've been bruised and battered and beset on every hand. Unknown, David gets honest, and he's at a place where, if we'll be honest, we get there as well, that in this adversarial time of his life, that David is now in a weak and helpless situation. That's how he describes his time of his life, if you know anything about the two various backgrounds that this psalm would have been taken from. You understand, and Brother Mark, David in some of those things and in some of the other psalms that he penned in those times of his life, David at times reached a place where it was all he could do to lift his head. It was all he could do to put one foot in front of the other. And David was not always happy-go-lucky and shouting it out and feeling good about how things were going to turn out. And in this psalm, we find that David is honest. And Lord, I will see it clearly in a moment. And Lord, where I'm at, I feel weak. I don't feel like I can make it. I feel helpless in where I am in this situation. But notice with me what David does do in this time of his life. He realizes, though weak and helpless he may be, the only hope that he has is in what God would do for him. He can't do nothing for himself. He can't do nothing to change the situation he's in. His daddy can't do nothing about it. His best buddies can't do nothing about it. There is nobody that he can put his hand upon that and do anything for David. David realized what all of us have gone through these times. And if you've not learned it, you're going to have to learn it. If you are going to make it, then when you can't do for yourself, there are times you need God to do for you. And so David, I love this, David said, there again in verse number 21, but do thou for me, O God the Lord. This is what the enemy has done. This is what my situation has done. This is what my environment has done. This is what has been done to me by my great adversary. Lord, greater than what has been done to me. I need God to do something for me. I need the Lord to do something for me. Have you ever been there where you realize that you couldn't do nothing about your situation yourself? There's nothing you can do, nothing the preacher can do, nothing your family can do. It seemed like all you had was of the home, then God was going to have to do something. Amen. Can I say tonight, that's a good place for God's children to be. I don't like what we got to go through to get there, Brother Bob, but it's always been a good place in my life when I realized I can't do for me, and my wife can't do for me, and my children can't do for me, and even my church can't do for me. There is a God involved in that will allow us to go into those times where we get to the place where we have to say, this is what has been done to me, but do thou, Lord, you do something in my life, and I'm banking on God doing some things for me. Amen. He says and gets honest about this. When he says, help me, O Lord, my God, O save me, according to thy mercy, verse 27, that they may know that this is thy hand. Lord, I'm counting on you to do something. I'm not counting on it to be something small. I'm counting on you to do something big. Lord, I'm counting on it to be so grand and glorious. Then all these people, my enemies that are watching me, my friends that are watching me, they themselves feel helpless in that they can't do anything about my situation, and they know it, and they're shaking their head like, There's no way I'm coming out of it more. Would you help me and save me and deliver me that everybody around me would know and what is taking place in my life? It is the hand of God that thou, Lord, has done it. David said, I'm in a place the only thing going to help me make it through, and the only way I'm going to make it out of this, the only way I'm going to survive what's been done to me is what God can do, would do. Amen. The Lord has said nothing. I can look around and say it's the Lord that done it in my life. And I say, I can look back in seasons of my life where my heart was broke, where my life was in a mess. Amen. Where I was overwhelmed beyond measure because of what had been done to me. Amen. But I'm glad I look back. And tonight I can say, and there are people that have been witnesses and had front row seats of the fact of my survival tonight. Amen. And we look and we say, look at what God has done. And because you reach a place in your life where you realize that only what God can do in your life will help you make it. So David is saying, there's some things I would have and would have need of God to do in my life. Amen. I don't know how much longer I'll make it. Amen. Tonight preaching, but let me draw another introductory thought, and then we'll show you some things David would have the Lord do for him. Notice again in our text verses, our verses we're lifting our theme from, verse 21 and 27. What I want you to pay close attention to is that what David would have God do for him, David's ultimate desire in that was for God's name and for God's promotion in his life. David is not just looking for this to be done for him so his life is easier. His ultimate goal, and there's nothing wrong with that being an element of it. Lord, please, ease up the hurt and the brokenness and the pain. No doubt that is a part of it, but the ultimate desire and goal of David saying, here's what I would have God do for me. And the reason I would have God do this is that I want it done for, notice what he says, for thy name's sake. It's not about my name. Lord, I'm not interested in my testimony and people thinking I'm somebody. Lord, I want it done for your name's sake. Lord, you've been too good to me thus far. People have watched you bring me through trouble and trial and tears. Lord, you brought me from one valley through the next. And Lord, here I am again. And Lord, it's not for my name's sake, but what I would have you do for me, it is for your name's sake. Amen. I want to say, you want to get God to do something for you tonight, make it about his name's sake, not yours. Say, boy, I would have God to do some things for me. Preacher, I've been asking and I've been requesting and I've been pouring it out and it don't seem like God's going to do it. Can I just tonight, I'm not saying your motive's wrong, I'm not saying your desire's wrong, but when we take a moment tonight and evaluate that, are we asking when we have God do something for us? Just because we're tired of the pressure and we're tired of what maybe the outcome is going to be. When we get honest tonight and evaluate our ultimate goal and desire for why we want God to do it. This going to be about your name, and you've been able to say, you wouldn't believe the way I prayed through. Then mark it down. If it ain't about his name, you probably ain't going to get much. Come on now, y'all act a little more lively than y'all tonight. I'm not doing as bad as y'all are looking at me. Amen. Are y'all listening? Amen. It's got to be about God's name. It's got to be about the promotion of God in our life. He says, help me, save me. Why? Verse 27, that they may know that this is thy hand. Lord, I want you to do it in such a way that there's no doubt about it. I couldn't do what's been done. And my family couldn't do what has been done. And that no man can be promoted. And the only one that is promoted is the hand of my God. Amen. And you say, boy, how do I get the Lord to do what I would have him do for me? It's got to be about his name and his promotion. That's real good preaching, Pastor. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of us are missing out on what God could do because we don't want to admit it. We don't want to admit it, but we're more concerned about our own name and promotion than we are the Lord. Amen. And so let's look at it tonight for a moment. Amen. Consider with me this evening that David is saying, Lord, there's some things I would have you to do for me. Let me give you five things in the text. I don't know if we'll make it that far. We'll start it tonight. But five things David would have God do for him in this season of life where David and others cannot do for him. Only God can do these things. Number one, David would have God's vindication. We could say tonight for David, he would have God's vindication of his reputation. God's vindication of my reputation. The enemy had boldly and openly assassinated the character of David. He had said in verse number 2, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are open against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. He speaks of how they have compassed him about. Words of hatred have been poured out against David. They have fought against him, he said, without a cause. How are they fighting? It's not just with swords of metal, but swords from the mouth, those piercing words that the adversary has breathed and whispered against David. Sometimes they're screamed out against David to his face. And sometimes they're whispered in the corner to those that are dearest to David's heart. So as to turn even the most faithful against David. There are people who one time had a high opinion of David and now are belittling him. At one time they called him sir and they called him king. And now they refer to him, hey, terms, my friend, that have no endearment attached to it. There is no respect when they utter his name. They are filled with animosity, yeah, and filled with bitterness against him, so as they openly and boldly assassinate the character of one of God's children. And let me say tonight, hey man, you want to hurt somebody? You began to assassinate their character. You began, my friend, to tell things that ain't so. And you began to tell things that you know that are so, that you know. And man, would hurt somebody if you let it out. That's cause you know it don't mean you're spread it. Yeah, man, you can say somebody that other people have a high opinion of. And you can destroy that in their mind and assassinate somebody's character and reputation. And that's where David is. David is in a place. And he can't chase down all the lies. He can't bring back all the whispers that have been said. He can't sit down at all the tables that others have sat down and spoke his name. My friend, we are animosity off the end of their tongue. He can't collect all of that. And so what do you do when you've been slandered and you can't do nothing about it? I tell you what you do, you go to God and say, Lord, I need your vindication of my reputation. You say, where do you see that? Look with me what he said in verse number 1. Hold not thy peace Oh, God of my praise, you're the one I've been praising. I've been living in your presence. I've been getting up just you and me and blessing your name. And Lord, I know you and you know me. And you know what they're saying, it ain't so. You know what is true and what's a lie. You know my ups and my downs. You know my ins and my outs. You know my motives. You know what has been twisted. You know what has been braided up. You know what's been torn down. And Lord, what I need you is hold the bad things. Lord, I need you to rise in vindication of my reputation. This is David. Listen, this is David's heart seeking the Lord to set the record straight. If I had a dollar for every lie told on me as a preacher, I'd have a lot more. I don't know how much I'd have a lot more in the savings. Somebody say amen. And if you had a dollar for every lie probably told about you, amen, you would, my friend, have some money in the bank. And we understand how hurtful that they can be. I understand how frustrating it can be. I want to try to chase down the lies and set the record straight. But it's been a good season of my life. And years gone by to learn. You'll never chase down every lie. You'll never straighten everything out. And sometimes you just got to go to God and say, God, you know me, and I know I'm not perfect. And I know I've got flaws and failures, but Lord, some of that stuff being said, you know it ain't so. And you just leave it with the Lord to vindicate your reputation. I'll tell you this much, I've lived long enough to know, amen, sometimes God does that on this side. Amen. I'm telling you, buddy, they spend things said and told. Amen. On me and Miss Kate, it's been ridiculous in 20 years of pastor. But I just, what you got to do is say, Lord, I need you to do this. I can't deal with all that. All I do is just keep getting up and preaching and singing and serving the Lord and put one foot in front of the other and just trust you to get it right. I'm going to tell you, he's the God. When God vindicates your reputation, he'll shut the mouth of every enemy. Amen. There have been people had to come back and apologize and said, I said this because so-and-so told it and I thought it was so. Now I know it ain't. Amen. So what is that? That's just letting God vindicate your reputation. Y'all getting the picture? You'll run yourself ragged. You'll give yourself ulcers and heart attack trying to get your own reputation what you think it ought to be. Sometimes you just got to sit down and shut up and say, God, you got to do this. If you'll take care of that, I'll just keep serving you no matter what they say, no matter how loud it gets, no matter how hurtful it is. Amen. I just keep on serving the Lord because what I need God to do for me is what only God can do. God has your record. Amen. Boy, I feel like we're stuck right here. God has our record. God knows what's up and down. God knows what's right and wrong. Sometimes you just got to say, I ain't listening to all that stuff. I'm just going to keep on serving God. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching, Pastor. Amen. Vindication. God's vindication of my reputation. Let me say number two, verses 6 through 20, and then you can throw in verse 29 if you keep a note. Write it down this way. What would you have God do for you, David? He would say, I mean, God's consideration of my imprecation. You say, what do you mean? David is in such dire shape in which he cannot do anything about his adversary's evil ways. They're wicked men. They are evil. He can't do anything to stop it. He can't stop them from coming against it. He can't stop what they say. He can't stop them from chasing him down. And so he's in a place that can't do anything about this in and of himself. He had already declared. Listen to what he declared in verse number 4. He said, I give myself unto prayer. Can I say today, when the enemy's marching against you, when the enemy, my friend, is on your trail, and all you can do is pray, and you feel like all you can do is run, and all you can do is try to do your best just to survive. And I say tonight, a good thing, my friend, for all of us to do in that prayer is to give ourselves unto prayer. Quit belly aching about it. Quit talking about it around the supper table. Ooh. Amen. That's the punch in the gut. Quit whining about it every day in and day out. David said, I'm going to talk about it, but I'm going to talk about it in prayer to the only one who can do anything about it. I'm going to give myself unto prayer. Amen. Now the prayer, he's going to give us insight on what his prayer is. And y'all, we'll all like this. Our fleshly nature will want to embrace this, but we really need to embrace it with our spirit man, not our fleshly man. The prayer that he prayed, it was what we call imprecatory praying. You say, what is imprecatory praying? That is a prayer in which we go to God and ask God to heap down vengeance upon evil and wicked men. Amen. And so what does he pray? You'll see it throughout the text. He prays the enemy will be condemned. That's what he prayed. Verse 6 and 7. Set thou wicked man over him, and let Satan stand in his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. And so David is praying, let my enemy be condemned. Let the very adversary of all adversaries come against him. He's actually praying what the Apostle Paul prayed when he spake of Hymenaeus and Alexander. When he said, let them be turned over unto Satan. And they learn through that condemnation of them, at that working of an evil spirit in their life, and they'll learn not to blaspheme. Amen. This ain't just Old Testament stuff. Imprecatory prayer is a New Testament way of prayer. Amen. So in his praying, let my enemy be condemned. Let them sense the condemnation that they're under. And if they won't turn from their wicked ways in the day of their judgment, I pray they be condemned. Later he'll say, and let it be that nobody extends unto them mercy. Amen. We're in a generation of religion and Christendom, and even those who attend independent fundamental Baptist churches, well, we got to give mercy here and mercy there. And, you know, God gives mercy to everybody. No, he doesn't. There are people God has condemned. Praise the enemy will be condemned. Verses 8 through 16. This is cut a chunk out of the psalm, but he prays the enemy will be cut off. He prays things like, let his day, Lord, let his days be few. Let another take his office. Hey, everybody look up here. That'd be a real good prayer. All of us go home and pray about our president tonight. Amen. Let his days be few, and they are if you've seen that senile fool try to get up, walk, and talk in recent days. Amen. His days, I pray, they're few. Lord, please let him be few. Let another take his office. And when she gets in office, we'll pray, let her days be few, and another take her office. Come on now. Y'all ought to be shouting right there. Oh, that's mean preaching. That's where David's at. He realizes there is a crowd. They're not ignorant. They're not just confused. They're not just senile. And they are evil, and they're working against God and God's will, and they would stamp out God's children, and would have no voice of righteousness in let their day, let his days seek you. Then he said, not only he'll cut his children off. Let his wife be a widow and his children fatherless. Let his children wander about as vagabonds. Let them become beggars. Are y'all listening? So I ain't ever prayed that way. That might be why our nation's in the shape it's in. We might ought to get right with God and start praying this way. Amen. He said, let there be none to execute mercy unto him. He's speaking about, let them be cut off. Let me get down here. He said in verse 15, let them be before the Lord continually, and he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. Because then he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy, and he might even slay the broken in heart. And so David said, and I pray for my enemy. It's imprecatory. I pray be condemned. I pray be cut off. He's unmerciful. He is governed without grace. He's not considered the poor and the needy. He's not considered our plight. He's not considered who our Heavenly Father is. And so David said, I pray my enemy be cut off. He prayed his enemy would be cursed. Verse 17 through 20. Amen. He loved cursing. He loved cursing. So let it come unto him. He loves it so much, he wants to bring curses down on, curse everybody else. Let him be cursed. Since he loves it so much, take the blessings away from him. Amen. He prays the enemy be cursed. He prays the enemy will be confused. Verse number 29. He said, let mine adversaries be clothed with shame. Let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle. What the Lord is saying is wrap them up in their own ways. Amen. Let them be consumed with confusion. Let me say tonight, this is not the vengeful prayer of a bitter man, but the prayer of the broken-hearted, righteous child of God that is seeking nothing more or less than justice from the holy Lord of heaven. Lord, they're wicked. They're not interested in right. They're not interested in God's people. They're not interested in God's will. If they want to live like devils, they want to live like heathens, and they want to promote sin in the land, and let the sin consume me up. And Lord, what I need you to do for me, Lord, what I need you to do for me, I need God's consideration of my imprecation. I'm going to tell you tonight, only God can do that. Number three, he would have God do for him. David, what would you have God do for you? He would say, I would have God's orchestration of my salvation. Amen. This is good preaching. I don't know if y'all realize that or not. I'm preaching good tonight. Amen. David describes himself. I'll just throw this out and I'll end here. We'll pick it back up some other time. Let me say tonight, David describes himself in these verses, verses 21 through verse number 27. He describes himself, verse 22, as being wounded. He describes himself in verse 23 as being wavering. When he said, I'm gone like the shadow, when it declined, I'm tossed up and down as the locust. In other words, I'm wavering as the sun wavers in its brightness. Its beams of light waver as it begins to set, and as the locust is carried about with the wind. He said, I'm wavering. I don't know. I have no stability. I have no long-lasting endurance left in me. Verse 24, he describes himself as being weakened. You ever been there? He said, my knees are weak and my flesh is fading. Amen. Verse number 25, he describes himself as being watched. So what do you mean? He He said, I became also a reproach unto them. When they looked upon me, they shaked their heads. See, what David is saying is, in this place that I'm at, there are people that are watching me to see what will become of me. When they see me, they see my weakness, they see my wavering, they see my woundedness. They see where I am there, and there's nothing I can do about this. Oh, the pressure that had to be on David when they were watching him. He just trying to make it one more hour, one more step, one more foot in front of the other, one more mile to his journey. And yet there are all lookers, there are witnesses, there are people, whether they want to or they don't want to, they cannot do anything to help it. And they're just watching to see what's going to become of him. Everybody adds it all up, says David's done for. David said, I have God's orchestration of my salvation. Lord, I'm wounded, I'm wavering, I'm weak. Lord, everybody's watching for that time. I take my last step, draw my last breath, where I'm wiped out off the face of the earth. But when David and everyone around him knew he wasn't going to make it, David turned to the Lord. Here's what he said. He prayed. He's asking him to have God's orchestration of his salvation. It's seen in three statements. One in verse 21, two out of verse number 26, and I'm done. Here's what he said, because thy mercy is good, deliver thou me. Lord, I ain't gonna make it, but I would have God's orchestration of my salvation. Lord, would you deliver me? That literally means, would you snatch me away? Lord, would you keep me going? Lord, would you allow me to walk home? He said in verse number 26, help me, O Lord, my God. He said again in verse number 26, save me. Save me, oh, save me according to thy mercy. Deliver thou me, help me, and dear God, save me. I won't take time to connect it all, but in them three things, here's what David is saying. If I'm going to walk in any liberty, that's deliverance. If I'm going to walk on in any ability, that's God's help. And if I'm going to walk in any victory, that's God's saving me. He said, it will have to come from God. I'm going to be at liberty. If I'm going to have any liberty, any ability, and any victory tonight, and I say I would have God's liberty, I would have God give me that ability, I would have God grant me that victory. And if God don't do it, there's times in their life as children of God. And if God don't orchestrate that, you can't pull it out of the air. Amen. You can't work it up in your soul. And you can't go down to Walmart and buy it off the shelf. Amen. But I'm glad things that God in glory. Amen. We can have Him do that for us. And when we're about to draw our last step, we're about to make that man through that last step. I'm glad we're making it. I'm glad. I can tell you, I've been long enough to know that God can do these things in our life. I'm walking in right now tonight, God's liberty. I ain't made it in this journey because of my own ability. I've made it in what God has orchestrated. The victory I possess in my heart and my life tonight, and whatever victories I'm going to need in days ahead, can I tell you tonight, it'll be the victory God puts in my soul and in your soul that enables us. When we can't do nothing about our situation, thank God He can do. Amen. Nothing less than God will do for you and me.